speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
We asked the question yesterday that Job asked hundreds and hundreds of years ago. If a man die, shall he live again? And so we're studying what happens after death. And to answer that question, we're asking such questions as, what is man? What is death? Are the dead conscious? Where are the dead? And we want to answer questions such as, what about purgatory? And will the body be raised? And what about future recognition? We established yesterday that man is a dual being. By that, he's body and he's soul. Sometimes the soul is referred to as a spirit, but he's a dual being. And that when the body dies, the dust shall return unto the grave, but the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. And we close with these words of the poet Longfellow. Life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returneth, was not spoken of the soul. So in studying about death today, the Bible teaches that physical death is the separation of the spirit from the body. And when that separation takes place, as we've already noted from Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, the dust shall return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. The body returns to its origin, and the soul, the spirit, the real man, returns to its origin, God. James wrote in James chapter 2, verse 26, that the body without the spirit is dead. The Bible does not say that the spirit is dead without the body, but the body is dead without the spirit. The spirit does not die. The spirit departs from the body at death. When Rachel died, her soul departed, we read in Genesis 35, verse 18. And in that sad hour, soul and body become separated from each other. Death is described as the giving up of the ghost or giving up of the spirit. For example, Abraham, we read in Genesis 25, verse 8, gave up the ghost and died. Jesus, while on the cross, said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Whereupon he gave up the ghost, Luke 23, verse 46. And the Bible compares the departure of the soul at death to the flying away of a bird. In Psalms 90, verse 10, we fly away. And the we who fly away are the spirits, not the bodies. So death is spoken of as the soul's departure, or the soul's exodus from this world. From a Roman prison, Paul spoke of death as a departure from this life. He said to the Philippians, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And later he wrote to Timothy by saying, I have fought a good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. And he said, the time of my departure is at hand. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also who love his appearing. So he said, the time of my departure is at hand. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. The word that's translated departure in the Greek means a loosening of the moorings or the ropes of a ship, or the pulling up of the anchors, setting sail on a voyage. And this metaphor of dying is beautifully expressed in the words of Tennyson, sunset and evening star and one clear call for me. May there be no moaning at the bar when I put out to sea. But such a tide is moving seems asleep, too full for sound and foam, when that which drew from out the boundless deep turns again home. Twilight and evening bell, and after that the dark, and may there be no sadness of farewell when I embark. For though from out our bourne of time and place, the flood may bear me far, I hope to see my pilot face to face when I have crossed the bar. The human body is a tabernacle or a dwelling place in which the real man lives. Death is referred to as the putting off of this tabernacle, 2 Peter 1:13. And the Apostle Paul wrote, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. He also spoke of being in this tabernacle, or being at home in the body, and absent from the body, present with the body. Therefore, life is that state of man when the body and the spirit are together. Death is that condition that follows with the separation of the body and the spirit. The miracle of bringing people back to life in Bible times was simply the returning of the spirit to the body. Elijah prayed that the son of that widow of Zarephath might have his soul restored. And so we have his prayer in 1 Kings 17, verse 21 and verse 22. "I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again." And the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. The death came when the soul became separated from the body. The child lived again when the soul came back into him. And when the ruler's daughter was raised by Christ, as we read in Luke 8, verse 55, her spirit came again. And in dying, her spirit had left the body. In coming to life again, her spirit simply had returned. Her spirit must have existed while she was dead. The dissolution of the body does not also include the dissolution of the spirit. There's no reason to believe from any statement in the Scriptures that the spirit, which is a distinct entity from the body, cannot exist apart from the body after death. Spirit beings do exist apart from the material bodies. God and angels do. Man's spirit, which is a non-material, incorporeal being, may or may not be associated with a physical body. In fact, the Bible affirms many times that man's spirit does continue to exist after death. The patriarchs died and were gathered to their people, such as Genesis 25, verse 8 and 9. Numerous other scriptures refer to those patriarchs. And this can only mean one thing. They were joined in an existence beyond this life. There was a reunion that was not a mere reunion of corpses in a grave, but a reunion of spirits. David did not consider his dead child as non-existent, only separated from the body, living in another sphere. And so he said in 2 Samuel 12, verse 23, "I shall go to him, he shall not return to me." He expected one day to depart this life and to go to be where the child was. And Jesus taught that the spirit survives the death of the body. He said in Matthew 10, verse 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in torment." This implies that the soul does not die when the body dies. The soul which man cannot kill continues to live after death. And if man were composed merely of dust, merely of animal life, then whoever killed the body would at the same time kill the soul. The dead continue to live was further emphasized by Christ while on the cross, when he said to that dying penitent thief, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Luke 23, 43. This statement simply meant that the thief was to exist after death, and he was to enter at once into a realm with Christ. Neither the spirit of the thief nor the spirit of Christ went out of existence that day when they died on crosses. And the spirit's personal existence in a disembodied state between man's death and his resurrection is taught in the account of the transfiguration of Christ. There, Moses and Elijah appeared talking with the Lord. You can read of that in Matthew 17, the first 8 verses, or in Luke chapter 9, verse 28 through verse 36. At the time of the transfiguration, Moses had been dead about 1,500 years. His body had been buried in some unknown place upon Mount Nebo. Elijah or Elias had been gone from the earth a long time. Yet Moses and Elias were still in an existence, retaining their identity, their individuality, and Moses and Elias are not even now reduced to a non-existent state. Just think of it. Atheism, which cannot be proved, offers nothing. Nothing to the person who, at the close of life, can only look forward to a dark grave and oblivion. Materialists say that man is wholly mortal, has no spirit dwelling within his body. To die means to cease to exist. The dead become totally unconscious, being entirely out of existence, except in God's memory. And according to the materialist, when man dies, he dies like the little dog Rover. He's simply dead all over. After death, he exists no more. And some people want to argue that Ecclesiastes 3, verse 19 and 20, teaches that man is like a brute beast with no spirit that would outlive the body. This passage shows that death of men and a beast are alike only in respect to their bodies. Both die, return to the dust from whence they came. But they are very unlike in another way. Man has an immortal spirit, beasts do not. And like that of the lower animals, man's body is earthly. His death is inevitable. Yet there is perfect harmony between this statement and Psalms 146, verse 4, which says that man's thoughts, man's plans, man's purposes, they perish, but the spirit returns unto God who gave it. The Sadducees in the time of Christ believed that death was simply annihilation, that man became a non-entity. They were materialists who maintained that the soul died with the body. And after death, there could be no existence because they, in their idea, the spirit had ceased. But that's an idea that's totally false. And to answer Job's question, if a man die, shall he live again? Yes, indeed. And all of us will live in one of two destinations: eternal heaven, paradise, or eternal torment in hell. Have you made your preparation? Until tomorrow, a very pleasant good afternoon.